Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Nun Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin the ninth and last perek of Maseches Brochus, Perek Haroya. You will notice that the Mishnah here is quite lengthy, and in fact the details of this Mishnah will be explained as we go on in the perek. So this long Mishnah will also keep us occupied for quite a few dapim of the perek. More accurately, this is the only Mishnah in the perek. So we will read through the Mishnah, but bear in mind that the lengthy or more appropriate explanation, Mirtz Hashem, we will deal with that as each section of the Mishnah is reached in the Gemara. So we begin. Haroya Mokoyim Shinasu Bo Nisim Yisrael. If a person chances upon a place that miracles were wrought for the Jewish people, Oimer Baruch She'osa Nisim Lavosenu Bamokom Hazeh. And it's pointed out, Tosfos points out, that all of these brachos are really complete brachos with the Shem, Hashem, and Malchus. In other words, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam She'osa Nisim Lavosenu Bamokom Hazeh. And so on and so forth as we go through the Mishnah. Another example of a brocha over reaching a certain place, mokim shenekro mimenu avodas kachovim asolos. In other words, if one sees a place that idols were uprooted from there, Omer, you say Baruch sheokar akum meartzenu. Al hazikin val hazvois val romim val ruchos val abrokim. These are different types of natural events. Rashi tells us that meforish b'gemara. But these things include things like, without identifying each one specifically, they include things like lightning and thunder and earthquakes and major winds and storms. Omer, so the appropriate bracha for these different natural events is Baruch shekoichoi ugvurosoi molei oilom. Al hehorim v'al hagvois v'al hayamim v'al hanehorois v'al midboros. On mountains, horim and gvos are mountains and hills and the seas and rivers and deserts. Omer boruch oise breishis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, horoya es hayam hagodol. Omer boruch she'oso es hayam hagodol. One sees the great sea, the oceans of the world. So one would say that bracha, bizman shirayu leprokim, only if you see it on occasion. And this is defined as once every 30 days. Therefore, if one would, let's say, live on the shore, he wouldn't be saying this bracha on a daily basis. Al hakshomim v'al psuros tovos, for the rain, first rainfall, and for good tidings, Omer Baruch Atoiv Vametiv. Absuros Ros, on bad news. There's another Girsur Al Shmuos Ros, on bad, on hearing bad news, Omer Baruch Dayan Hoemes. Bono Bayis Chodosh Vekono Kelim Chadoshim. Person built a new house, acquired new vessels, Omer Baruch Shechionu Vikimono Vigyonu Azman Azeh, where we bless the Almighty for enabling us to live till this particular time. Mevorech al haro'a me'ein al hatoivo, v'al hatoivo me'ein al haro'a. This, it will be explained what is referred to, bearing in mind that the Mishnah already spoke about Basuros Tovos and Basuros Raos. So this is obviously something else. But as we said, this will be dealt with later in the perek. V'hatsoek l'sha'ovar harei zu tfilas shav. One who cries out over things that have happened in the past, over something that's already transpired or been determined, so that's considered a useless or worthless prayer. Hoisishta muberes v'omer, a woman is pregnant, and the husband says, Yirotzon shetelet ishti zohar. May it be the will of the Almighty that my wife gives birth to a male. Harei zu tfilas shav. That is also considered an empty, a worthless prayer. The Gemara, of course, will deal with this in greater detail. But a point is right now that if she's pregnant, so the gender has already been determined. So how can you think to pray concerning the gender once it's already been determined? That's why it's called a tfilas shav. Hoyaboba derech v'shoma kol tzvocha b'ir. Person is on the road and he hears screams coming from town. V'omer yirotzon shelo tehei b'soch b'si. That should be that these are not from my house. Arei zu tfilas shav. The screams are already heard. It's already been determined. It's already taken place. So you can't expect to pray that it shouldn't be from where it already has been determined. Hanichlas l'krach nispal ashtayim. One entering a town, a city, should pray two prayers. Achas b'knisoso v'achas b'tziyoso. One upon entrance and one upon exiting. Ben azai omer arba. Four prayers. Shtayim b'knisoso v'shtayim b'tziyoso. Two that are relevant to the entrance and two relevant to exiting. No sein hoido al sheovar v'tsoek al heosid. The Rashi explains arba k'dimeforish, as is explained. No sein hoido al sheovar v'tsoek al heosid nimtzu arba k'dimeforish b'gemora. In other words, what the Mishnah is telling us is that you are going to get up to four brachas by taking into consideration these points that are added, that one gives thanks for the past and screams or prays regarding the future. Chayev odom levorach al haro'o k'shem shemavorach al ha'toivo. A person is expected to bless the Almighty over the negative, over the bad, just like over the good. This line as well, Rashi points out, Meforesh b'Gemara, that will be explained later in the Gemara. Because again, this seems to reflect things that were mentioned earlier in the Mishnah, and hence we'll have to wait for the Gemara to explain its relevance. Shenemar, the basis of this teaching is from the Pasuk, V'ohavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha. Now, the Gemara, the Mishnah darshins b'chol levavecha b'shnei yitzarecha b'yetzer tov u'b'yetzer hara, that one must show his love of the Almighty with his two tendencies, with his yetzer tov, with his positive tendency, and with his evil inclination. U'b'chol nafshecha afilu hu noitel es nafshecha, even if it's at the expense of one's own life, one must sacrifice one's life in order not to violate the love of Hashem. And that is a very general statement and needs further clarification. V'chol mo'idecha, v'chol mamoincha. With all of your money, you shall serve the Almighty. Dover achir, v'chol mo'idecha, v'chol mido, mido shumode l'cha, heve mode lo. And as the Mishnah said earlier, that a person is obligated to bless Hashem over the bad, just like over the good. So you see here in this Dover Acher that b'chol mo'odecha, whatever the Kodesh Baruch Hu decides to visit upon an individual, whether it be positive or negative, one is to acknowledge and thank the Almighty. Lo yakil odom esroishi keneged shar hamizrach shu mechuvon keneged beis kodshei hakodashim. If a person is opposite the eastern wall of the beis hamikdash, then he should be careful to behave in a very dignified fashion and not to be yakel odom is a lotion of kalus is lightheadedness, and that is actually defined if we look at the Rashi. Lo yakel roshe lo yina kalus roshe. A person should not behave in a frivolous fashion. Keneged shar mizrachi chutz lahara bayis. Asher b'choyma nemucha asher l'ragle abayis b'mizrach. On the eastern side of the Temple Mount, the wall that surrounded the Temple Mount was lower than the other walls surrounding the Temple Mount. V'kush l'fishikos shorim mechuvonim ze keneged ze shar mizrach shar ezras noshim shar ezras Yisrael. Rashi is explaining that the gateways were aligned so that when you were on the eastern, when you were facing the eastern side of the Temple Mount and facing the eastern gate opening to the Temple Mount, that eastern gate was aligned directly with the gate, the doorway, the entranceway leading eventually to the Holy of Holies of the Beis Hamikdash. As the Mishnah says, Keneged Shar Mizrach Shuf Mechuvan, it's aligned, Keneged Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim, opposite the Holy of Holies. V'lo Yikanis L'Arabayis B'maklu V'minolu from Fundosoi U'V'Avak Shal Raglov. Person should not enter the Har Bayis b'maklo with a stick, a walking stick, nor with shoes, nor with a pundoso is a belt, a money belt. It is a belt that has a hollow in it for in which people would put their cash, nor with feet with dust on it. That's avak shal raglo v'lo yasenu kapandario, and one should not use the Har Habayis, the Temple Mount, as a shortcut. In other words, if a person is trying to get to a destination on the other side of the Temple Mount, so he's expected to walk around it and not through it. Urekiko mikal v'chomer, and to spit is all the more forbidden on Har Habayis. Kol choisme brochos shebemikdosh oyu omrim ad ho'olam. When it came to the closing brocha of a bracha recited in the Beis HaMikdash, it was the text of the bracha was different than our standard bracha text. Mishikilkul, and in that text it would be Ad Ha'olam. We will shortly take a look at Rashi, who will elaborate on this. Mishikilkul HaTzedukim V'omru, when the Tzedukim were people that didn't acknowledge the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral tradition. They accepted, in a manner of speaking, the written law, but not the oral tradition and the drushes of Chazal. And when they said, Ein Oilom Elo Echad, there was only one world. In other words, there was a denial of an Oilom Haba, a world to come. So Hiskinu Shu Oimrim, so in order to defy their claims, we changed the text of the brachas and said in it, Min ha'olam v'an ha'olam, acknowledging two worlds, the present world, the olam hazeh, and the world to come. Before going on in the Mishnah, we'll just take a look at the Rashi. Kol choisme brachas shebemikdash ha'omrim ad ha'olam. Maseches Tainis Amrinon. In the Gemara, Maseches Tainis, it says, Ein oinin omein b'mikdash. The omein response to a bracha was not said in the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, they would say, as Rashi will point out, based on the Gemara there, they would say, Boruch Shem Kavod Machusil Lomvud, as a response to a bracha. So they didn't answer omein in the Mikdash. HaMavorech Omer B'soif Ko Bracha, Boruch Ato Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Min Ho'ilom, V'an Ho'ilom, Boruch Choinein Hadoas. And people would respond, Baruch Shem Kevoid Machsolom Voed, Delfinum, Amikrod, Filas Ezra, Siat, Veshmir, and Hocha. Our Gemara here tells us that Mimikdash Rishon Lohoyu Oimrim Ela Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Ad Min Ha'olam, and not Min Ha'olam V'Ad Ha'olam. But the Tzedukim came along and they said there's only one world. So Ezra in the second Beis Hamikdash era instituted that you'll say Min Ha'olam V'Ad Ha'olam. We continue in the Mishnah. Shoyel es Odom, Shoyel es Shloim Chaveroi. Let's read that line again. Viskinu Shie Odom Shoyel es Shloim Chavero B'Shem. They also instituted, and this is very likely in the time of Ezra. He was the one that was referred to just before as Hiskinu. To say Min Ha'olam V'Ad Ha'olam, so they also instituted that one shall greet his friend using the name of Hashem in the greeting. Shenemar, and the basis for that is in Psukim. Vinei boyaz bo mi beis lechem vayomer lakoytzum Hashem imochem vayomru lo yivorechecho Hashem. So Boaz greeted the harvesters by using the Shem Hashem in his greeting. The Omer Hashem Imcha Gibor HaChayel. There's another pasuk that indicates that, which is a case where the Malach greeted Gideon and said Hashem Imcha, using Hashem's name in his greeting. The Omer Al Tavoiz Ki Zikna Imcha, which learn from don't belittle that which that literally your mother. Because your mother is old, but it's a reference to our traditions, not to make light of them. And the Gemara will explain what the point of this additional pasuk is. The Omer and another pasuk says, "Eis lasis Hashem eferu terasecha." That sometimes one has to mevatel Torah in order to establish it. So Rashi explains here, "V'omer eis lasos l'Hashem eferu torasecha pomim shemevatlim divrei Torah kedei lasos l'Hashem." Sometimes we violate or abrogate Torah teachings in order to do for the sake of Hashem. Avzeh miskavin lishol l'shtom chaveru zehu ritzoni shel mokum shnema abakei shom v'rfeu mutu lahofir Torah v'lasos dov hanira oser. In other words, using the Shem Hashem in a friendly greeting would appear on the surface to be something forbidden. But yet, this is the will of Hashem. In other words, in order to pursue peace and harmony amongst people, even the pronunciation of the Shem Hashem is acceptable if that's the ends that will be achieved. Rabbi Nosson, the Mishnah goes on, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Heferu Terasecha, Mishum Eis Lasos Lashem. That conveys the idea of abrogating a Torah teaching because it's a special time that demands it in order to do for Hashem. We now look at the comment on the side under our title for the upcoming Gemara. The Nosei, the topic heading, is Mevorchim al Nisim de Rabim and Nisim de Ochid. We'll discuss the recitation of a bracha over miracles that that benefited the public and those that benefit the individual. Mino Hanimili. Rashi's girsa is Minolon de Mevorchinon Anisa. From where do we know that we make a bracha over a miracle? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, the Omar Krav, Vayoymer Yisro, Baruch Hashem, Asher Hitzil, Vichulei. Yisro blessed the Almighty for the salvation of the Jewish people. That was from the Egyptians, which was all a great miracle, a miraculous event. The Gemara asks, based on the Mokr, the source that the Gemara gives, it would sound that the need for a bracha is only regarding a nace, a miracle that benefited the public. What about that which benefits the individual? So you'll notice we have a long question starting here. We have it marked on the side with a kuf, that's encircled, and a descending vertical dashed line, indicating the length of the question. You can see, as we mentioned, on the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. So the Gemara asks, Anisa de Rabim mevorchinan, Anisa de Yochid lo mevorchinan. Is it so that on a public level miracle, so there is a bracha, but on a private, for an individual who benefits from a miracle, there is no bracha, v'ha, ahu gavra? And here you see we use a double underline, and under our mivne heading, we've indicated shnei dugmois shel nisim v'yachad, two examples of nisim, of private miracles, and their and brachas that were made. So v'ahu gavra, there was a man, davaka ozul be'ever yamina, he was passing through an area called Ever Yamina, nofal alei aryeh, a lion attacked him. Yisavid le nisa v'itzul mine, a miracle happened, and he was saved. Osel kame de rova, v'omar le, kol emas demotis losim borich. When the man came to Rava, and Rava told him, whenever you arrive at that place, say the following text. Baruch she'osa li neis b'mokom hazeh. So you see an example of a private miracle and the need for a brocha. Mor brei d'Ravina have a ka'ozil b'pakso d'arvis. Mor brei d'Ravina, the son of Ravina, was passing through an area called Pakso d'Arvis, the valley of Arvois. V'tzocha l'mai, we became exceptionally thirsty. Isavid l'nisa, a miracle happened. Ivrilei eino d'maya, a well or spring of water was created. V'ishti, and he drank. V'su zimno chada, havakozu b'ristika d'mechuza. And on another occasion, he was walking through the streets of Mechuza. V'nofalei gamla pritza, and a wild camel attacked him. Isparko le ashisa, and just at that point, a crack or an opening in a wall developed. In other words, he would be able to seek refuge in this opening in the wall. The ashisa is a wall. Olagabe, he went into that opening and was thereby saved. Ki moto la arvis, when he got to Arvus, and we're talking again about Mor Brei D'Ravina. When he got to Arvus, that was the place where the thirst was solved miraculously. Baruch, he would say the following brocha. Baruch she'osa li neis ba'arvus u'begomol. He would mention Arvus because that's where he was, and he would also mention the camel miracle. Kimota l'aristika de Mechuza, when he would chance upon the street of in Mechuza, Baruch, he would say Baruch she'osa li neis ba'gomol u'ba'arvus, acknowledging the current location first, the camel miracle, and also recounting the miracle that he experienced in Arvois. We have a question mark here because the question is, you see brachas for these two private for the miracles that happen on a private level. So why does Rabbi Yochanan give us the impression that only for public miracles does one make a bracha? The Gemara answers, Amri, Anisa de Rabban Kuli Alma Mechayv Levruchi, for public miracles, miracles that benefited the nation of Israel, so everyone has to make a bracha. Anisa de Yachid, regarding a private miracle, Ihu Chayv Levruchi, the one who benefited, he has to make the bracha. Tanu Rabbanan, so you can see we have a framed section, a Tanaic source appears. And in this source, there will be a list of places that warrant a bracha. And they are listed here. We continue in the source. Horoya Mavris Hayam. We should point out that each one of these items or places mentioned in this list will be explained by the Gemara, and you can, just looking ahead, you see diamonds that appear, and they continue down quite a bit of Omud Beis as well. So we'll be preoccupied with this particular source for quite a while. So we go through the source and wait, and we'll await the Gemara for elaboration. So Horoya Mabros Hayam, the place that the Jews crossed when the sea split in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Umabros Hayarden, where the Jews entered, crossing the miraculous splitting of the Jordan River, entering Israel in the time of Yoshua, Mabros Nachle Arnon, Avnei Algobish, Bemorad Beis Choron, the Even Shebikesh Lizrok Oig Mel Haboshon Al Yisrael, the Even Sheyoshav Oleo Moshe Beshalsha also Yeshua Milchoma Bamolek. That's a reference to the stone on which Moshe Rabbeinu sat when the Jews warred under the leadership of Yoshua against Amalek. The Ishto Shalot, the wife of Lot, that she turned into a pillar of salt. The Choymas Yericho Shnivlo B'Mekoymo, and the wall of Yericho that got absorbed into the ground miraculously in the time of the of Yeshua and the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. On all of these, regarding all of these places, one shall give thanks and praise to the Almighty. So, as we said, the diamonds introduce each one of these locations and some further elaboration. The Gemara opens up here with a question that lasts a couple of lines, and we've indicated this with a shin, encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and a descending vertical dashed line, the shin for she'ela. Bishlamo Mabros Hayam Dichtiv. We understand that a miracle took place over there. It says in the pasuk, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'soch hayam b'yabasha, the Jews entered the sea, and it was dry. It was a dry path formed at the cross, at the splitting of the sea. That is quite miraculous. Mabros Hayarden, Dichtiv, Vayamdu akinim noisei ha'aron bris Hashem v'choravo b'soch hayarden hochein. The Kohanim, who were carrying the ark containing the Ten Commandments, were standing in the Jordan River on dry ground. In other words, the river split, and it was dry. And the river remained split, so to speak, or dry, until all of the Jews were able to cross into Eretz Yisrael. Quite obviously another miracle. Elo Mabros Nachli Arnon Minolan. What's the miracle associated with this place? Mabros Nachli Arnon. So the Gemara explains in Dichtiv. The Gemara gives us background, and it takes a number of lines to develop the answer for this, and hence we have a long answer marking that accompanies this. As you can see, to the side of the Gemara text, we have a tuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line that continues onto Amud Beis. Dichtiv. The pasuk says in Bamidbar, Perek Chof Aleph, pasuk Yud Dalid, Al Kain Yeomer B'Seifu Milchamas Hashem Es Vohev B'Sufa V'Es Hanecholim Arnon. That's a pasuk, and the background. Tana Es Vohev B'Sufa Shnei Mitzoroyim Hoyu Tavu Mahalchim B'Soif Machn Yisrael. The words Es and Vohev are actually names of two individuals that were afflicted with Tzaras. A person that's afflicted with Tzaras is not to be to dwell amongst the rest of the community. So they were outside of the camp, and as the Jews were walking through the Midbar, through the desert, they were walking at the end of the camp. Kihavu Kochalfi Yisrael. When the Jews were passing at a certain point, Asu Emoroi, Toshu Luhu Benachle Arno. The Emorite people, as far as our Gemara is concerned, we'll call them an enemy people. They hid in this area called Nachle Arno. Avdi, we're at the top of Amud Beis, Avdi lahon nekivusa. They made for themselves caves. V'toshu bahon. And they went and hid in the caves, laying in wait for the Jews to arrive there, and they would attack. The Rashi at the top of the Omid Beis, Avdi lahon nekivusa me'oros. Those are caves. Mabros Nachli Arnon, this is the place we're focusing on right now. Emek Omok ben Shnei Horim Gvoyim. It was a valley between two high mountains. For Yisrael Tzrichim Lavor Bois Emek, and the Jews needed to traverse this valley. Osu Emoroyim Moros Betzida Horim V'Nechbu Sham. The Emorites made caves in these mountains and hid there. Amri, continuing the Gemara on the top line, Amri, they proclaimed, these Amorites, Ki chaf Yisrael ocha naktalinun. When the Jews cross this area, we will kill them. Velo havu yadi, they were not aware, the oroin havu maski kamayu Yisrael. The oron, the holy ark containing the Ten Commandments, walked in ahead of the camp. If the Jews encountered difficult terrain, so it would, the Oron miraculously would lower mountains that interfered with their route, and would cause the mountains to, in effect, spread out. In other words, their height was reduced. We'll call it, you have to just imagine mashing them down, and hence spreading to either side. So that if you had a situation where this was a deep valley, a type of canyon, and you had two mountains on either side, so the mountains filled in the canyon by their height being reduced and intermeshing one with the other, and it became then a flat terrain and easy to traverse. So, bearing in mind that we have these mountains with caves, and the Amorites are hiding in them, and we have a canyon or a valley that the Jews will have to go through. Kevin de Osa Oron Idbiku Turi Bahadi Adodi. When the Oron arrived at that point, so the mountains became stuck to one another, as we explained in the Rashi. The Kakminun and the Amorites that were hiding in the mountains were crushed, and they were killed. The Nochas Damayu Lenachli Arnon, and their blood flowed into the valley. Ki Osu Esvohev, when Esvohev finally got there, remember, they were behind the camp. Chozu Doma de Konofik Mibeni Turi. Now, it could be that the Jews passed not seeing any of this because the terrain had been leveled, but when the Jewish camp finished passing by, everything was returned to its original state with tall mountains, and now the mountains had blood flowing out of them from all the Amorites that were hidden in there, that were hiding there. And these guys, Es and Vohev, that were at the end of the camp, so they saw this. The Jews apparently had gone all the way ahead, but these guys saw this, and that's Chozer Doma de Konofik Meintur. They saw the blood coming from between these two mountains. Also, V'Amri L'Huli Yisrael. They went and told the Jews, the rest of the people, about what they saw. The Amru Shira, and they recited a song praise to the Kodesh Baruch Hu for having saved them from danger. Hainu Dichtiv, and that is what's meant in the Pasuk, which is also from Bamidbar Perek Chof Aleph. Here, this is Pasuk Tesvav. We had started by citing Pasuk of Pasuk Yudalat, Al Kain Yemur B'Sef B'Sashay Svei V'Sufa, and the Hemshech, the continuation of that Pasukim, of that Pasuk in Pasuk Tesvav. It says, V'Eshed HaNecholim Asher Noto L'Sheves Or V'Nish'an L'Gvul Moyov. The word eshed has to do with something that pours out. So it's a reference to the blood that was flowing from the mountains as they had passed by. The next diamond highlights another one of the places featured in the source. This was the fourth place mentioned, Avnei Algobish. My Avnei Algobish. What is that? And it's a play, it's something that will generate a bracha, as is fairly obvious. So the Gemara answers, Tana, we have a Tanaic source, Avonim sha'omdu al gav ish v'yardu al gav ish. Somewhat obscure for right now, let's go on in the Gemara and see how this is, source is explained. Avonim is a reference to boulders or stones. Omdu al gav ish, ze Moshe. The word, the name, the ish in this passage, reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see in this pasuk, ish is used in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Uksiv, vayachdelu hakolos vaborod umoto lo nitach ortsa. This pasuk indicates the cessation of the noise and the hail and the rain did not fall earthwards. In other words, in this pasuk, you see the suspension of, it refers to hail, but that's also, we also refer to that as hailstones. It goes without saying that this is a reference to the Makas Borod, the plague of hail that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon the Egyptians. And when Paro had sought the ending of that plague, so things stopped in midair, as the pasuk says that the borod and motor lo nitach ortsa, they didn't hit the ground. So you have these, call it suspended hailstones, that were suspended in the merit of Moshe. He was the ish. Then it said in the source, yordu al gav ish ze Yehoshua, dichtiv. Yoshua is also referred to by the term Ish. It says, Kach luchas Yoshua binun Ish asher ruach boi. And we dashed on the line again the word Ish to emphasize the connection. Uksiv, and in the context of Yoshua, it says regarding one of the battles, one of the wars that Yoshua had participated in, it says, Vayi benusam b'nei b'nei Yisrael, heim b'morad beis choron, Vashem hishlich aleim avonim gedolos. So you see, in this battle, they were running from the Jews, and they were struck with these stones. These stones that finally hit the ground in the merit of an ish. So when we made reference to the Avnei Algobish b'Morad Beis Horon, this was a battle that took place in that area called Beis Horon, and it involved these hailstones that eventually hit earthward. So it seems from the Gemara that the very same hailstones that were suspended in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu were now used to defeat this enemy in the time of Yoshua. Evan shebikesh oig melech habashan lizrok al Yisrael. This was mentioned as another, if one sees the stone, the rock that Oig, who was the king of Boshan, this was the fifth example case of Brocha needed to be said. One sees the stone that this king Oig wanted to throw upon the Jewish people. So the Gemara is going to tell us that it's not that there is a pasuk that shows this, but there's an oral tradition that is the basis of this story. Gemara Gemiri Law. This is an oral tradition. Omar Oig said, Machne Yisrael Kama Havi. How big is the camp of Israel? Answer, Tlosa Parsi. It measures 3 parsa. 3 parsa is also, 1 parsa is 4 mil, so 3 times 4 is 12 mil. It's like 12 kilometers square. Ezel, the Akatura, Bar Tlosa Parsi, Vishtialayu, Vaktalinu. I'm going to go and uproot. Now, Oig was a giant. So he says, I'm going to go uproot a mountain whose base measures 3 parsa square, and I will cast it upon them and kill them. Ozal Okar Tura Bar Tlosa Parsi. This gentleman, Oig, was a giant, as we said, and he went ahead and uprooted a mountain with these dimensions. Va'isi Al Reshe, and in anticipation of casting it upon them, he raised it over his head. Va'isi Kuchibrichu Ole Kamtsi. The Almighty brought upon him ants, kamtsi are ants. Vinokvua Vinochus Vitzavre. This army of ants hollowed out the mountain in the middle, and it fell onto his head. So you have to have some reasonable imagery, and you now can imagine a mountain now around Oig's, resting on his shoulders with his head popping through. Have a boy Lemishlefa. He wanted to take it off. Take this mountain that's right covering his head. Take it off. So you know what happened? Mashchi shinei lahagisa lahagisa. His teeth grew like tusks. If I'm not mistaken, like walrus tusks that protrude laterally. So they grew out. His teeth extended to this side and to that side, wedging into the mountain that was around his head. The lo mosi l'mishlefa, he couldn't slip it off. V'hainu dichtiv, it's with this story in mind that the pasuk says shinei rishoyim shibarta uchder Shimon ben Lakish. And based on Rosh Lakish's teaching, Amar Shimon Lakish my dichtiv shinei rishoyim shibarta. That's what the pasuk says in Tehillim. Al tikri shibarta. Don't read it as shibarta. Elo sheribavta. Ribavta means lengthen. The teeth of the wicked were lengthened. The story continues. Moshe Kamahava. How tall was Moshe Rabbeinu? 10 amos. He was 10 amos tall. 10 amos is quite a respectable height. 5 meters in height. Shokil Narga bar 10 amen. He took an axe, 10 amos in height. Shovar 10 amen. He jumped 10 amos off the ground. Umachia bekarsule vekatle. And so we've accounted here for 30 amos of height. In other words, from the bottom of Moshe's feet, after he's jumped to a height of 10 amos, his own personal height, and the axe height. He's jumped 30 amos, and Machi, he hit Oig Bekarsule in his ankle, and eventually killed him. Katle, and killed him. These are the dimensions to give us a feeling of how vast Oig was in size. As far as the... are these things taken literally, or there are deeper messages here? Those kind of questions are beyond the purview of our Daf Yomi Gemara markings shir. So anyone who is curious about these, we highly recommend looking into these matters further. The Evan Shiyoshav Olei Moshe, another one of the places mentioned in the source on Omid Aleph, the stone on which Moshe sat, which was tied into a miraculous event. This is connected with the war against Amalek. Dichtiv v'day Moshe kvedim. Moshe was seated on a rock, and when he would raise his hands, so the Jewish people who are warring with Amalek would notice this and become imbued with divine faith and would start to be victorious in their battle with Amalek. So the pasuk describes Moshe Rabbeinu as becoming fatigued. Vikru even vayasimu tachtov vayeshev olea, and they brought a stone for Moshe to sit on when this battle was taking place. And as we mentioned, when Moshe Rabbeinu would raise his hand, so that would be the sign of the Jewish people connecting with the Almighty and hence winning in battle. Hence a place to say thanks and praise of the Almighty. The Ishto Shaloit, what is the reference to the wife of Lot that we are referring to here? Shenema v'tabed ishto at me'achorov v'ti nitziv melech. When Lot was running, escaping Sodom as it was being overturned by the Almighty, he escaped with his wife, but she was instructed not to look back, and she did, and as a result of that, she turned into a pillar of salt. So if one chances upon that pillar of salt, a brocha is made, and the Gemara will refer to this at greater length in a couple of lines. The Chaymas Yericho Shenivla, also mentioned in the source on Amud Aleph, Dichtiv, if one sees the walls of Jericho that were absorbed into the ground, one makes a brocha. Dichtiv, Atipol Achoyma Tachtel. The Rashi on this says Tachteha Mashma Bimikoma V'Efsher Zu Elo Ayidei Blia. This was a quite a miraculous event that the walls of Yericho, even though the Pasuk says they fell, it's not that they fell over, but rather they were absorbed into the ground. And that's why in our markings you can notice we've also dashed on the line Shenivla, and the Rashi explained that the word Tachteha is the clue or the hint to the fact that they didn't just fall over but were absorbed. The walls fell under them, meaning they were absorbed into the ground right underneath. So now the Gemara asks, Bishlamo kulhu niso. We understand that all of the places mentioned were of a miraculous nature, and miraculous events that took place there and generate a brocha and praise of Hashem. And well, Ishtel Sholot, but the pillar of salt example, Pur Anusa, who, that was a punishment. Here you have a person that turned into a pillar of salt. Doesn't sound like some type of, we'll call it a scene or a sight over which to say a brocha and praise of Hashem. So the Gemara says, well, a brocha is recited, but it's a different brocha. The Omar, Baruch Dayan Ha'emes. Blessed be the Almighty, who is the truthful judge. The Gemara asks, well, how can you say that that's what you say? Because the context of the original source said, V'ho'ido v'shevach katoni. In the original source, you see that expression. It said that at the very end of the source. And you can see that we have a marking that forwards you back to Amud Aleph, where you can see the corresponding arrow on Amud Aleph that corresponds to this arrow, showing you where this expression appears. So the Gemara explains Tani. Regarding the source, read it as follows. Aloit val ishto mevorchem shtayim. When seeing this pillar of salt, so one will make two brachas. Al ishto omer boruch dayan ha'emes, val lot, who was saved, omer boruch zocher es ha-tzadikim. We praise the Almighty for remembering Avraham Avinu, in whose merit his nephew Lot was saved. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, filu b'shas kasher shakadosh baruch hu zocher tzadikim. Even in the midst of the wrath of the Almighty, as was the case when Sodom was being punished, he remembers the righteous. Shneimar v'yi b'shaches elokim es orei hakikar v'yizkor elokim es Avram. And as the Kodesh Baruch Hu was destroying the five cities that were part of the Sodom metropolitan area, he remembered Avram, Vayishlach es Lot mitoch hafecha, and had, as a result of the merits of Avram, so Lot was saved from that. V'chomas Yericho Shnivla. Now we made a reference to this in the last diamond above. Here the Gemara returns to that particular topic. The Chomis Yericho Nivla, is it so that the wall of Yericho was absorbed? V'ha Naflo Shinemar, it fell. not absorbed. It fell. Shinemar, the pasuk says, "Vayikishmo omes kol hashofar vayiru om trugdola." And when the nation heard the sound of the shofar, they all trumpeted forth a great trua. Vatipol hachomo tachteo. And it says we dashed on the line the word vatipol. So it fell, not absorbed. So the Gemara answers, Kevan ship de pusya veruma ki adodininu, since the dimensions of the wall were such that its thickness, its width, and its height had the same dimension. So that if the wall was 20 feet tall, it was also 20 feet wide. Something like that can't fall over. Mishum hachi ivla blui. Therefore, it had to be absorbed into the ground. And we pointed out, based on Rashi before, that even you can see a hint of this in the pasuk because of the word bimakoma, in its place. Now, as we continue in the Gemara, we have a new topic. On the side, we have the nosei, the topic heading, with the mivneh, structural note, and the triangle is featured. Arbet srifim lehodos. There are four examples of people that have to say thanks to the Almighty. We would refer to this, the topic, or the bracha of Birchas HaGoymel. The Gemara. Amar Vida Marav, Arbat Shichim Lehoidos. Four examples of people that need to say thanks and praise to the Almighty. Yorde Hayam, someone who crosses the sea. Two, Holchim Yibar, someone who crosses the desert. Umi Shehoi Chovis, Rabbi, someone who was sick and got better. Umi Shehoi Chovish Beis Asurim V'yosan, someone who was incarcerated and left prison. Now, what the Gemara does is it cites each one of these examples, and we highlight them with triangles, and shows how they are to say praise based on psukim, all from Tehillim, Perek, Kuf, Zion. And the psukim that are quoted here are, we have four examples, but they do not follow the order of the psukim found in Sefer Tehillim. So we've provided in our Shas Ozer, the Gemara that you see on your screen, the pasuk citation, and the value in having this is when we get to Amir Tzashem in our Tosfos Shiur, he makes a reference to this seeming inconsistency in terms of there's the order in the Book of Tehillim and there's the order the Gemara presents things. Let's now continue in the Gemara. Yorde Hayamino, from where do we know that people who cross the sea are expected to say thanks? Dechtiv, Yorde Hayam Bonios, Hemoro Maise Hashem. We're quoting here Psukim in partial form. We've tried to consistently cite where the new Pasuk begins, a Pasuk citation. But the gist of this is a reference to people who crossed the sea. They saw the workings, the Maisa Hashem, the wondrous workings of Hashem, the Omer, Vayamed Ruach Sora, and a turbulent wind appeared, Yalishmaim Yerdu Toimos, causing great rises and falls, the Omer, Yahugu Vayanu Kashikar, and we were tossed around like a drunkard. Vayomer Vayitzakul Hashem Batsalem, and says Umi Mitsukusem Yotziem. And they called out to the Almighty in their troubles. We're quite distinctly describing people on the high seas, great storm, turbulent waters, and from their troubles they are extricated. Vayomer Yokem Sor Ludmama. And the storm came to a halt, to silence. Ve'omer va'yismuchu ki ishtoko, and they were happy because of this new peace and quiet. Ve'omer, and it says yodu l'Hashem chasdu v'nefusol v'nei adam. This is the indication of the need to say thanks to the Kodesh Baruch Hu for having been saved from that situation. Hochei midboros min olan, people crossing the desert. From where do we know they are to say praise? Dichtiv. Tov Amidbar Bishimon Dorach Ir Moshav Lo Matzo. People crossing the desert at times could easily err in their ways, and it's a place of great desolation. No places of civilization are around, it represents imminent danger. Vayitzaku Hashem, and they cried out to Hashem. Vayadrichem b'derech yishara, yodu Hashem chasdo, and they were taken out, shown their way out of the desert, and they said thanks. Mishicholov in Israpid Dichtiv, someone who was infirmed and got better. It says, Evilim miderech pisham avunesem yisanu kol uchel tisai of nafsham. A description of people who couldn't because of their sins, they were subjected to affliction and they couldn't eat anymore. Vayizaku l'Hashem batzar lehem yishlach dvor vayir po'em, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu sent His salvation and healed them. Yodu l'Hashem chazdoi. Again, we see the pasuk mentioning by your claim they were healed, and the Yodu l'Hashem and the need for thanks. Mishal Chovash Beis Asurim Minolan, someone who was incarcerated and released. Tichtiv Yoshvei Choshech Etzalmovas Ki Himru Imrei Keil Veomer Vayachna Beomol Libam Vayomer Vayitzaku Al Hashem Batzor Lehem Vayomer Yotzi'em Michoshech Etzalmovas. The pasuk is describing people that were sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, something we can associate with prison. The Omer Yodu Lashem Chasdo, and then upon their release, they say thanks. My Mevorech, what is the bracha concerning these? The bracha for these four cases. Omer Rav Yehuda Baruch. Gomel lechayovim toivois shigmolani kol toiv. This is the Nusach HaBrocha, and as we mentioned at the beginning of the Shir, these are abbreviated. So it's Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam HaGomel lechayovim toivois shigmolani kol toiv. Abaye Omar v'tzorach lodoye kami asora. Abaye adds that the Brocha must be recited in the presence of 10. Dechtiv. And the pasuk says also in the same context. This is from Tehillim Perek Kuf Zayin. Viromu b'kalam, and the expression kahal am is an indication of 10. Marzutra Omar utrain minayu rabbonan, and of the 10, 2 shall be. Are expected to be Torah knowledgeable or Torah scholars. Shinemar Posuk Lamed Beis says Uva Moshev Zekenin Yahaluluhu. So up till now we're saying that we gave the text of the bracha. It shall be recited in amongst 10 people, 2 of whom shall be Tamidei Chachamim. Maskef Rav Ashi Veima Kulu Rabbanan. So Rav Ashi asks, who says just 2? Maybe all 10 should be Rabbanan. The Gemara answers, Miksiv Bikal Zakenim? Bikal Am Ksiv. It doesn't say Bikal Zakenim. Had it said Bikal Zakenim, Zakenim is an expression referring to sages. So had it said a Kahal of sages, so I would have thought, okay, they all have to be Rabbanan. But it doesn't say that. It says Bikal Am. So you've got, on the one hand, it says V'moshev Zakenim, and also Kahal Am. So we have this combination effect. Question, V'emo Be Asora. Sharamo utrein rabbonan. Maybe the number breakdown should be like this: 10 of general population. That's sharamo. 2 additional people shall be rabbonan. A total of 12 people for this bracha. Kashya. That is a difficulty. In other words, if you want to argue that there should be 10 total, that could be challenged by this suggestion. Very often, when the term kashi appears, it means that it's a technical difficulty, but it doesn't mean that we're going to follow that suggestion. So that we'll still go back to having the bracha with, the bracha can be recited with 10 people there. We should say a total of 10 people. Rav Yehuda cholash ve'ispach. Rav Yehuda became ill and got better. Ispach healed better. Ol legabei Rav Chana Bagdisa v'Rabbanan. Rav Chana from Bagdisa, and the Rabbanan came to visit him. Amrilei, and they said, Brich Rachmona di'ov al ni'alon v'lo yavoch l'afra. Blessed be the Almighty who gave you over to us and not to the dirt. In other words, and not die and get buried. Omar Lahu, so Rav Yehuda said to them, Patrasun Yossi Milodoi, you have exempted me from the need to say thanks. In other words, you recited the bracha and I heard it and can suggest and I said amen to it, so that's it. The Gemara asks, but Abai said that it has to be recited in the presence of 10. The Gemara says, there were a group of 10 people that came to visit him. The Gemara asks, but he didn't say the bracha. The Gemara answers, Lo tzarech, doni basrei, amen. As we explained earlier, he answered Omein, and the response of Omein is at least as good as having said the bracha itself. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, a bowtie shape. On the side, we have a mivneh, the structural note, where a bowtie and a dashed underline is featured. Sidra shel memros shel Rav Yehuda shloisha. In other words, we'll see a series of statements of Rav Yehuda, where he begins each statement with a number, 3, and we'll see how that is explained in the Gemara. So, Omar Rav Yehuda, Shloisha Tzrichim Shimur, there are 3 that need special guarding from Mazikim, from injury, could be a reference to from demonic forces, from negative of the spiritual forces. 3 need special guarding, and they are Veilein Chila, Choson, Vekala, a sick individual, a groom, and a bride. The Masni Satana, in a Tanaic source, it's taught Chila, Chaya. Chaya is a woman who is giving birth. Choson, Vekala, Viesh Omrim, Af Ovel. Yesh Omrim, and Ovel, a mourner. Yesh Omrim Af Tamidei Chachomim Balayla. And there are those that want to say even Tamidei Chachomim at night. And we've seen references to Tamidei Chachomim at night in an earlier section of our Masechta. The Omar of Yehuda, Shloisha Dvarim, Amarach Ben Marichin Yom of Ushnoisiv Shaladim. There are 3 things that can extend a person's life. 1, hamarich b'tfilaso, one who prays a lengthy type prayer, a long shmona esrei, hamarich al shuchano, one who spends a long time at his meal. But one should not think that we're advocating gluttony. But Rashi is quick to explain that shemitoch kach aniyim boin misparnasim. If a person sits, the longer a person sits at his meal, so the more opportunity there is to give food to the poor that may come by. And v'amarech b'veis hakisei, one who knows how to relieve himself properly in the facilities, and doesn't do so in a very hasty fashion, so that is considered, as Rashi says, refuah hilo. It's of a healthful nature. The Gemara now will continue with a question, and you'll notice that we have a double underline marking, and this is on the side. Gimel dvarim arachim yomav shel adam. These are the 3 things that were just mentioned. The Gemara will elaborate on them, and the first point, Marach B'Tfilaso, the Gemara opens here with a question. We're calling this a long question. You can see the kuf to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line that continues down the first few lines of Nun Hei Omid Aleph.
So the Gemara asks, "V'amarech b'tfiloso mal yusahi." Is it so that one who is marich in his tefila is considered mal yusah, means something positive? V'amar b'chiyah bar Abba, v'amar b'yochanan. The Gemara continues on Nun Hey Amud Aleph. Kol hamarech b'tfiloso ma'ayin ba. Someone who davens a long Shemona Esrei and is focused about it, ma'ayin ba, concentrates. Sof ba'al lidei kev lev. He will come to pain of the heart. Now Rashi explains at the top, ma'ayin ba, omer belibo shetel seva kashoso. He is thinking that my requests in my prayer will be fulfilled, because I am concentrating, I'm saying my prayers with such concentration. So a person who has this approach to davening, so it says that he comes to ke'ev lev, to pain of the heart. That's not something positive. Shenemar, tocheles memushcha machlas lev. Tocheles is an expression referring to prayer. Like the, and Rashi quotes the pasuk Vayachal Moshe, where Moshe Rabbeinu prayed, and Mumushcha means it's extended, elongated, long, Machla Lev, says it makes the heart sick. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shloisha Dvorim Azkirim Avinus Shalom, there are three things that can arouse the sins of a person. Ve'elohein Kir Notui, Ve'iun Filo, Umoisu Dinal Chaver L'Shamayim. There are three points mentioned here, but we've dashed underlined what's relevant to our discussion, and that is iyun tefila, that one who practices what we saw in the Rashi, concentrates in his davening with the expectation that that will result in his requests being fulfilled, in fact arouses in heaven the sins that a person may have committed. The other points that were mentioned here is a kir notui, is a leaning wall. In other words, it's a dangerous point. A person who passes by something that's dangerous. So in heaven, they evaluate, is it worth saving this person? And that just opens up his sins. They take accounting of it. And Moshe Din Achaver Shemayim is a person who prays for his friend's defeat. Being so confident in his own merits that his friend shall be punished at the hands of heaven. So a person does that also, that arouses the individual sins. Does this guy really have the merit to see the downfall of his friend? The question, though, is how can you say that Marach B'Tfila is Marichin Lo Yom Avushnoisov when you see here that Marach B'Tfila is Bali De Kev Lev and it's Maskirim Abinusu Shaladam? The Gemara answers, Ha Lo Kashya, Ha De Ma'ayin Ba, Ha De Lo Ma'ayin Ba. If Marach B'Tfila in elongated davening is fine. The problem is if he's ma'ayin ba, that's negative. And ma'ayin ba, we have to use the Rashi's explanation that we used before, that he is confident that his tefillah will be answered because of his extended concentration. So that is not good. If, however, one doesn't daven with that approach, so it's okay. The hechi of it, so then what should he do? The Mafish Brachmi, he prays extensively to the Almighty. That the long prayer in and of itself is a positive thing, and it says that's Marachim Yom Shnoisov. The problem is that one who prays with such confidence and expectation that he is going to be answered, that is not the proper approach. We might want to mention something that helps to complement this Gemara, and that is a point mentioned in Sukkah, Maseches Sukkah, and also in another place, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mis'ave L'Tfilosin Shel Tzadikim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is desirous of the prayers of the righteous, so that the actual act of praying is, one might even term it as an ends in itself, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu desires the prayer. And
a person should be able to rise to that level where his prayer experience is something, a means of, we'll say, establishing a kesher, a connection to the Almighty, and that in and of itself is something very praiseworthy. The fixation on the prayer as being a means to having one's requests fulfilled might be of secondary importance, and certainly where one prays with this sense of assuredness that his requests are going to be fulfilled, and in the event that they're not, so that's what will cause the ka'ev lev that the Gemara mentioned to come on. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.